Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh,
yo. Happy Halloween Eve. And TJ, it has been a trick so far for the Minnesota Gophers in the fourth quarter. A really entertaining game going to overtime right now. Minnesota had a big lead. Maryland scores 17 in the fourth quarter. So going to overtime, Minnesota and Maryland tied at 38 apiece. Each of the running backs for these teams has gone over 200 yards rushing, led by, and I know this is going to be a fun one, Jake Give Up the Funk, who has run for 216 yards tonight for Maryland in a huge, huge night. I mean, both teams running the football like crazy. This has been a pretty fun game, and both teams are throwing the ball well. It's not like it's everything is on the ground. Maryland's got like 700 yards of offense already.
Yeah, as we have to just call it, Tua's brother has been phenomenal via the air. Had a big play. Now they're into overtime, but towards in the final drive, after questionable call, set them back. It was second and 25. He went down the sideline. Receiver, I don't know what he was looking for. I don't know you could have rolled the ball to that spot any better than what Tagovailoa did there, but falls incomplete. They eventually settle for OT, and now we go. They had a big opportunity when it was they were down big, and obviously they did the comeback, but they had a play where he tried to stretch at the goal line, did Tagovailoa, and was ruled short, and then on the next play, the running back fumbled the ball at the one. So, you know, you get the touchback and ruins what was a great opportunity to pull back in. And you wonder how much the flow would have changed there, but they still have a shot. And after getting curb stomped by Northwestern last week, 43-3, good to see them get off the mat.
Could be a Tagovailoa weekend. Tonight you got 394 and three touchdowns through the air. Also 62 yards on the ground and a touchdown by Talia. Now you have Tua on Sunday. Could be a Tagovailoa weekend. All of a sudden, people are going to go, hey, I like that upset special with Miami over the Rams. I like that pick. I like that pick, Mike Harmon.
I'm curious about it, right? Obviously, Devontae Parker's a little banged up. I don't think there was an official word. I haven't seen his name in the scroll yet as being out among all the luminaries, because that's where we're at in week eight. You got a lot of your stars, so your fantasy lineups have holes blown into them all over the place. But I'm eager to see what Tua can bring to the table, right, as a runner. And with Gesicki and the other weapons, Preston Williams and a little Miles Gaston out of the backfield, I think it's going to be a fun run. If nothing else, we'll get another test for the Rams as they do that cross-country jaunt once again. Remember, they played all of the NFC East to start the season, and now they have to go down to Florida to play the Dolphins.
Well, here's how I think the game is going to go Sunday for Tua. Okay, because I looked at, I thought about this for one of my upset special picks, and I thought about how this game is going to go, and I'm pretty sure here's how Tua's first start is going to go. He's going to be ready, right? Like Joe Burrow, he's 100% going to show us he is ready to play. He will start out fast, all right, because the Dolphins are going to put him in position to make plays and succeed, and the guy is that talented. I think the first half, he makes a ton of plays. He shows you how good he is, but it's his first NFL game, and eventually the Rams and that defense is going to find a way to exert its will. The second half is going to be much different story as the Rams get into the game and they start controlling the line of scrimmage and controlling what Tua does and confusing him a bit, and the Rams are going to wind up winning this game. But I can see this being a game where suddenly the Dolphins are out 14-0 and Tua's thrown two touchdowns and it's holy crap, look at what they're doing. And then the final score, it turns out to be Rams 31-17. Like I can't see Tua against this defense doing it for four quarters. Starting off and showing you that I got it, but this Rams defense is pretty good. They got a lot of bosses on this team, and I can't see Tua having one of those games where look at him just go nuts throwing the ball over the place on him. The Rams are a really good team. And for the beginning, I think they'll do well, but then I think the Rams put their will on the game and they win by double digits in this one.
all going to lay at the hands of the defense. Offense, yeah. I think, will do just fine as long as he can avoid being introduced to Aaron Donald too early. Big part and big problem. Ramsey and company taking care of the back end. I think there's some plays to be had, but to your point, can they score with them? That's the giant question in all of this. And I'm still going to side with it that he's able to make one more play and that we get a little bit of magic, just like we did a couple of years ago when we were on air and, you know, it was the crash course of, how do you say this kid's name again? Just call him Tua. Just call him Tua and be done with it.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly, so be cautious at crossings. If the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train stop, because trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. So one of the things we've talked about this week is a lot of the coming off the World Series, we mentioned at the first hour that, look, Rob Manfred is still trying to live down the Astros cheating scandal, right? We've seen he's never going to do it. And now, when it's still been hanging over him in Major League Baseball for months, A.J. Hinch gets back in the game today, hired by the Tigers. The Tigers called him right after the World Series ended, and, hey, we want you to be our manager, and here he is back in. Cora's going to get back into, you know, Beltran's going to wind up getting back in at some point, and it's just never going to leave him. Case in point, we said this decision to take Blake Snell out of Game 6 is never going to leave Kevin Cash.
No.
It was one of the worst blunders in World Series history, and you can sit back and point and say, no, this is how we do it because we look at ERAs. You can't just manage like that because they're not robots, and that's what people forget about analytics, is that these are human beings, and there's things like confidence, and there's things such as how you see the ball. All of these things happen that are all big variables. You can't just say, so-and-so says to do this, so we got to do this every single time. This is Game 6 of the World Series. You manage Game 6 of the World Series differently than you manage a random game in August. You manage, you coach the national championship different than you would coach a game week 4. Week 4, maybe Jalen Hurts stays in a game that he's down by 21 points at halftime. But when it's the national championship, Nick Saban says, I'm sorry, I got to make a move. Tua, you're in, and a star is born. And Kevin Cash didn't realize that. The Rays philosophy completely doesn't take into account what happens when you're dealing with humans and you're dealing with emotions and you're dealing with what you're doing for the other team and the confidence the Dodgers didn't have and how their swagger was sagging. This is something that you'll never live down because there was no way you take Blake Snell out of that game. And then La Vida Baseball, who I follow on Twitter, is a really entertaining Twitter account, put out a tweet a few minutes ago taking advantage of the DK Metcalf running down Buda Baker from Sunday Night Football this past week. And they took Blake Snell's head and put it on Buda Baker, and they put Kevin Cash's head and put it on DK Metcalf, and the caption was, Kevin Cash trying to take Blake Snell out of Game 6. So you just watch him chase him all the way down the field
and tackle him at the five-yard line.
It's hysterical.
I still wish we could have seen a battle on the mound. Obviously, Snell was cursing and left the mound. I just wish there was an altercation. Much like many would have liked to see Major League Baseball security tackle Justin Turner, I'm cheering for violence. What's wrong with me? It's Halloween Eve. I've been watching horror movies with my kids a lot. What do you want? But when it comes down to it, it's the you can't put in your algorithm how a player is going to respond to a moment, right? The human element, as we say, the ebb and flow of emotion and whether the guy's going to have a break or not. Snell obviously had pitched brilliantly and gave up a lazy single. So the decision, while your math might be right, don't forget to carry the one, that this might have been one for the gut, right? This might have been the, I've just got to feel this one out. But I guess if you're pot committed as an organization, you just say we live and die with the data, which means he doesn't get to see Mookie Betts again. And in this case, you died 1,000 deaths and will forever because Dodgers breaking through and winning this World Series, again, after the 32-year drought, is just monstrous, right? And will be played ad nauseum for the remainder of our existence.
Yeah, it really boils down to that, and that's what people forget when you're trying to break things down. You know, A-Rod kind of went into it a little bit when he said, hey, you know, we're ball players. We're not just, you know, chess pieces to move around. But it gets deeper than that. It's you have to take the human part of baseball into account. And that's what sabermetrics doesn't do. I get that the whole point of sabermetrics was, listen, numbers don't lie, right? And take emotion out of it when you make decisions, because when you get emotional, you can make bad decisions. I understand that part of it. I understand that a guy's on base percentage of 400, even if he's hitting 230, is still really good for different reasons. And, you know, just giving you a layman's example for sabermetrics.
Sure.
But the same thing implies when you have to make a big decision, sometimes you have to let emotion be a part of it. You have to let what your eyes see be a part of it. If the Dodgers are struggling and they look like they have no life in their dugout and no life on their bats, Blake Snell stays in that game. If Blake Snell is dominant and he's feeding into the emotion of the team, that's a word, it's emotion again, and he's feeding into the Rays and giving them confidence, then he's got to stay in that game. And that's the whole part of what sabermetrics loses. And, you know, it's why we wind up beating the machines in the Terminator movies all the time, because we think and we we know and we're fighting for something. And this is why the robots never win. Sure, the robots always look, everything is terrible and the robots have taken over. And I don't know why a robot would want to take over unless it was human, because it doesn't make sense, because a robot doesn't have any feelings at all. But this is why the robots win for a while, but we always beat the robots. We always beat them. We always will, because they're too robotic. And that's what do they always say about a quarterback when he comes in? You know what? Your motion has to be a little bit better. Why? You're too robotic. Oh, I thought robotics was good. All right, fine. We always beat the robots. That's why. That's what happens. And people forget that.
I like that you put us in a glass case of emotions with your breakdown there. It's just that, right? The eye test, looking across to the other dugout. Those guys, you saw the video. We were watching it. We were commenting it live. Going, Dodgers don't look like a confident bunch right now. They're just, you know, kind of slumped down on the rail. There's not that same energy that you'd seen in the dugout throughout the prior series and prior games of the World Series. And all of a sudden, you take Snell, everybody's lively, going, all right, we got our shot now. Doesn't mean that they wouldn't have gotten him in that inning. They very well may have. Mookie Betts might have deposited the next pitch 450 feet away. But you never know, right? You've got to sometimes work beyond the numbers. And that goes with everything you're doing in your life, right? Sometimes the numbers tell you to do something, but your gut says this is going to be a dead end. This is going to be a bad idea, right? Here's the car I'm going to buy. Here's the property maybe makes sense for the financial purpose, but doesn't in other ways, and any other purchases that you're going through, relationships, interpersonal communications, whatever, put some numbers behind how you're making your decision. Sometimes the gut just doesn't like it. In this case, it cost them a shot at maybe forcing a game seven. And you know what? The city of Los Angeles, I know we're on an AM 570 LA Sports. You can honk your horns. Yeah, you got that victory.
Twitter at How About a Fresca Mike at Swollen Dome. Now apparently this is what we're going to get every Friday night, Mike, is that now it's going to be Friday night. I feel like it's just for me personally, because every Friday night we're going to get a quarterback who's going to give you an incredible game, and I feel okay. Well, if Trevor Lawrence says no after this year, we can get a guy, right? We can get Mertz when he comes back. He was great for Wisconsin last Friday. If we get Tua's brother after tonight, I'm okay with that. You know, one more year
game.
We wait and we stink and we're number one again. Hey, come on, I'll get Tua Tagovailoa. He had a phenomenal game tonight, and as Mike said, it's just ended. The game of the night, Maryland has defeated Minnesota 45-44 in overtime. Minnesota missed the extra point.
Yep.
After scoring a touchdown in OT, so Maryland wins this game 45-44, and suddenly it's going to be Tua's brother. And that's what everybody's going to say. They're not going to say Talia. They're going to go, ooh, how do you say? I'm just going to say Tua's brother. So, hey, Tua's brother is great. Tua's brother is great. Tua's brother. Tua's brother. I bet you that's what winds up trending on Twitter is Tua's brother. I guarantee
well
that's
be,
what it's going to be.
Talia Tagovailoa, this is your star moment on a Friday night. No, really, a couple other – college football games, but everything else in hibernation for a day. Here's your spotlight Big Ten matchup. Because, look, you can only watch Hocus Pocus or Halloween 17 so many times. You watched some Big Ten football. Good, clean, American fun.
You know, speaking of Halloween, just really quick on this, because we'll get to the Patriots coming up in a bit. TNT put out a poll on social media tonight that I wanted to get to. TNT put out a poll today that says the picture of Michael Myers. It just says, say one nice thing about Michael Myers. Like, that was it. Just a picture of him holding a knife, saying one nice thing about him. I'm like, okay, well, I'm trying to think in a sports analogy. Well, he's resilient. All right, one thing
he is
resilient. So I put up there, I responded to the poll, resilient even after his eyes get shot out. Because that's, I mean, you talk about luck in movies. Jamie Lee Curtis shooting him in the eyes through the eye holes of the mask at the end of, sorry, spoiler, at the end of Halloween. You don't even see the bullets go in. No powder burns, no nothing. Just the blood comes out. I mean, to get him twice like that, that is the luckiest thing that's ever happened in a movie. So many lucky things happen. Ocean's 11, all the breaks they get to be able to steal the money. Sorry, spoiler, they steal the money. The luckiest thing, Jamie Lee Curtis, two shot with a gun she's probably never shot before, and she's panicked, nervous in a closet, and boom, she gets right between the eyes with both shots.
Hey, you know, you got to be a good shot. Now we'll get the backstory. That allows you to create another prequel of where did all that training come from. Maybe she was a ranger in another life. I don't know.
877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
I'm an ass man.
Happy Halloween Eve. Big weekend in college football to get to, but just this really quick. We just watched an absolute thriller. Maryland beating Minnesota 45-44 in overtime. Taulia Tagovailoa with a huge day. He throws for nearly 400 yards, three touchdowns. He runs for 70 yards and a touchdown. Maryland wins when Minnesota, scoring a touchdown to potentially tie the game, misses the extra point in overtime. And this is what I never get, Mike, is that when you get to overtime, look, PJ Fleck's a great coach, right? He's done things with this Minnesota program, all the row the boat. It's terrific. But he just watched Maryland get 24 points off their last four drives, three touchdowns and a field goal. Why don't you go for two? Do you really think your defense is going to stop them? The last four times they had the football, it's three touchdowns and a field goal. Do you really think, oh, we could stop me? They're just going up and down. They have 700 yards of offense. How do you think your defense is going to make a stop? I don't understand it. It's not like, boy, it's 17-17 overtime. The defense is playing well. How do you think your defense is going to make a stop? And I would have said this even if they kicked the extra point and the game was going. How do you not go for two in the sixth?
Also had the issue that towards the end of regulation where they were moving the ball. They were towards midfield. And you get back to play calling where you've smash-mouthed 600 total yards, and then you get cute and you have to punt, and you gave them life. I mean, in the end, it went for naught, but it's still just decision-making that leaves you scratching your head a bit. And so now you go away with an overtime loss to a team that last week, I mean, I don't know, how good are my Northwestern Wildcats now? I mean, they beat that team 43-3 last week. They blew the doors off them. So Big Ten giving us some excitement on a Friday night.
Joining us now on the hotline, speaking of excitement, it is always excitement. In fact, we call him Mr. Excitement.
That's true.
The owner, editor, proprietor of collegefootballnews.com, your one-stop shopping for college football. All the previews, all the analysis you need, everything written by our next guest, friend of the show, Pete Futek. Pete, can you explain the end of that game to me there a little bit?
That was about as clean a whiff of an extra point as you will ever find. I mean, that was just a straight miss. It wasn't a shank. It wasn't he had basically all he had to do was kick it straight, and he just aimed it and nailed it, just cold, dead right. So, I mean, having grown up in Minneapolis and I went to college at Wisconsin, this Big Ten season's going great so far.
I see what you did there, Pete. I see exactly what you did there. I see what you did.
Way to get that in. So, yeah, go ahead.
So, what'd you make of, before you get to what's going on with Trevor Lawrence, what'd you make of Tua Tagovailoa tonight? If Trevor Lawrence says no to the Jets, Pete, I'm okay if we wait a year for him. I mean, Friday nights, we're getting good performances by Big Ten quarterbacks.
That was awesome. I mean, look, all joking aside, it's good. You know, it stinks if you're a fan of, say, Rutgers, and you're so bad for so long. Look, this was a shocker. You know, you mentioned that either Northwestern's the new Alabama, or that was as horribly coached and played a game as a team can have one week and then respond the opposite way the other week, because that was not the Maryland team that showed up in Evanston last week at all. And it wasn't just even last week. It was a year since Maryland did anything against anybody college football, FBS related. So this was a stunner, because there was some crazy stat, like 9 of the last 10 games they've played against FBS teams, they didn't get over 17 points. And then this, okay, hey, good. You know, it's good for Maryland. It's good for the Big Ten. And I'm always a fan of any program whose fans have had to just had so much suffering and no fun, finally get to have a little bit of fun. And certainly that was that tonight for Terp fans.
So they get the rebound, and Jason mentioned it. Trevor Lawrence, we'll get to Wisconsin and how the Big Ten got to handle all this stuff with them in a minute. But I love the statement of, we were informed by Trevor, and now we've got a timeline. So really getting ready for that matchup against Notre Dame, aren't we?
Yeah, you know, I with the caveat here, we're dealing with a global pandemic and a deadly disease that's killing hundreds of thousands of people. And we're going to put this in football terms, so just forgive the ickiness of all of that. Yeah, when did he inform Clemson? Because now the timeline, now it's on. But like, there's a whole other, another big part of this that I think we're kind of missing in the sports world. No one's really talked about at all. Is how healthy are these guys when they come back? You know, and I point to, for example, Cam Newton is not the same guy player he was before he was out. And, okay, let's say he's back 10 days. As long as he's okay, great, of course. But, like, is he feeling okay? Is he back to, you know, health after your body, even if you're an elite athlete, after your body goes through all that? You know, how healthy is he going to be for Notre Dame? And, by the way, it's not like they're pulling some kid out of psych class to play against Boston College this week. DJ Uiagalelei is going to be the number one overall pick in the 2023 draft.
Whoa!
Like,
wow!
He was that big a recruit. He was Trevor Lawrence big as a recruit for the club, for Clemson this year.
Now, can he be that good tomorrow? Are we going to see him announce himself like Trevor Lawrence did a few years ago, or might it be a little bit more of a struggle?
Well, I think I'm back. Hello.
Yeah, no, we got. Yeah, I think you're back.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just seemed like I attacked the monster, but yeah, he was DJ. Let's just call him DJ Uli because it's easier. Was just that good a recruit. And he's bigger, he's got the arm, he's got the mobility, he just needs the at-bats. But give him a year or two, and he's it. He's the next in line. It's Deshaun.
Well, so we move from that, and so you take the Clemson side, and they should be just fine. Meanwhile, the Big Ten, because of the early – I don't know what to call it, Pete. I had my skepticism about the myocarditis – notes when they came out, given the high rate and really lack of depth to it. That's been adjusted now, but with the 21 days of the Big Ten, are they going to try to rally everybody to change that, or are we looking at 3 weeks without a number of players?
How do you? I mean, how do you do that without the optics looking absolutely awful? I mean, look, at the end of the day, these are still college kids, and even without the heart concerns, which is why the Big Ten initially had it 21 days, because you are alluding to, I'm guessing, the studies that are coming out that they're just not finding heart problems
right,
that they originally thought they would in most of these guys. But is one too many? Kind of. But okay, so let's say that's still kind of an issue here. Still, the 21 days, I kind of liked it as a good guideline. And just kind of be like, look, mask up, take care of yourselves, keep your programs, keep your guys in line. You only have an 8-game in 8-week thing. The Pac-12 is coming up with 6 games in 6 weeks. You can kind of keep it all together for, you know, an 8-week season And I kind of liked that kind of idea of that. It's almost like a punitive thing if you don't do it right. And 21 days, okay, we know that you're going to be fine coming out of that and give the guys time to rest up. But you're right. I mean, it's going to seem a little odd, but what happens now on a whole slew of levels? Because let's say you do decide to change it, and you do decide that, you know, okay, 21 days is a little bit too much. We're going to change it for 14. How does everyone in the Big Ten not howl? Like, oh, look at you, of course, Barry Alvarez, and, you know, get to change this up for his team. You know, the optics of it are just miserable. Now, I do think if you're the Big Ten, you figure out something so that I know they're two of the biggest games of the season, but Penn State and Nebraska on November 14th, Michigan against Wisconsin, you cancel those and you put Wisconsin versus Nebraska because you got to figure out who the best teams are in the division. Because this gets weird. Like, let's say they have to, Wisconsin misses the Purdue game next week. And then they come back and let's say they somehow beat Michigan. They end up going 6-0, and another team in the division goes 6-1. All right, so who goes? You know, who gets to go to the Big Ten championship? There are a whole slew of issues here with how this works. I'm actually a big proponent of saying, you know, look, if you can't field a team, you forfeit. You want to lock this down fast? You want college coaches and administrators to make sure that everybody is in line with all this? You throw the idea of a forfeit out there, and you watch that these cases are not happening at all. But at the end of the day, look, the test isn't the cure, but this is the system working. You know, they had these tests because now we know that, okay, this weekend Ohio State can play Penn State, and we know Wisconsin can't play. So that's just kind of the cost of doing business right now for the Badgers who, all right, you tested negative or tested positive for all this. Well, this is the price. You can't play this weekend.
Pete Futek, College Football Insider with us here, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. All right, let's get to the field for tomorrow, Pete, and stay in the Big Ten because certainly everybody's got their fingers crossed after last week going, maybe Michigan's back. Maybe Michigan's really, really good. Are you buying on the Wolverines after week one going into tomorrow's game?
I would until tonight. You know, gosh, either Northwestern's an absolute killer, or maybe Minnesota can't play any D, or maybe Michigan's that good. Or, you know, you just don't know on a week-to-week basis here. But, yeah, I'm buying. I mean, it gets lost because Michigan can't beat Ohio State. They can't beat the Alabamas of the world. But Michigan is still a top-10 team every single year. They've got the talent. They've got the coaching. And I know no one likes it because they're not winning Big Ten championships. They don't lose the mediocre games. They only lose to the real big-time teams. And their big sin is they can't get by Ohio State. But that they're supposed to drill a team that's obviously kind of mediocre like Minnesota is. So I am buying. I do think Joe Milton really is kind of that good. I do think Michigan, if you look at their schedule, they can get by Penn State. And I do think, as long as there aren't any COVID issues, that you are going to see a 7-0 Michigan versus a 7-0 Ohio State playing at the end of the December 12th is when they play up. And how much fun would that be?
All right, so you just picked the Ohio State-Penn State game. I'll move on from there. Is there another upset brewing on a Saturday in one of these marquee matchups?
I'm not going to say it's an upset. 31 points if you're an upset if you're in the investment community. 31 points is a lot to give a Mike Leach team with a week off to prepare for Alabama. People forget that Mississippi State is all about how bad the offense is. Their defense leads the SEC. So I do think they can kind of keep it close. And then, okay, we talked about Trevor Lawrence. I still think, okay, fine, Clemson's got the running game. Clemson's got the defense. Clemson's going to be okay. Even with Lawrence, I kind of liked Boston College to at least make it interesting.
Plus 25.
plus the 25. But like in a weird kind of right team right there, because all they can do is wing it around the yard. Good coaching, Phil Jurkovic. I mean, I didn't think they were going to pull it off, but they can at least make it somewhat interesting this week.
You can follow him on Twitter at Pete Futek. That is at Pete Futek. And check out collegefootballnews.com. All the previews, everything you want. In fact, after Wyoming and Hawaii ends tonight, he's going to have 10,000 words on this game. So check it right there. He's got it coming up for you. Everything you need right there. collegefootballnews.com. Pete, as always, buddy. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you.
Hey, get to next week. Look at the games next week. That's when it's really going to be fun.
Well, and the Pac-12 returns.
Sure. Sure, you get the Pac-12 back. It'd be awesome. So, you know, this is the thing. This is the thing, Mike, is that in my house, you would think that after one big win, there would be all kinds of optimism for Michigan. But no. My wife was the most positive. She worked for the football office when she was in college. She actually worked in the office when Lloyd Carr was there and stuff and everything else. She was the most positive, Michigan football. And now, after being with her for 20 years, they get a big win like that. She said to me, Minnesota probably sucks. I said,
I hope that attitude just stays on Michigan football. Good God, man.
What is happening? You can't just enjoy a big win where it looks like you got a quarterback that looks like he's very Ohio State-esque, like someone who is big and can throw, and you don't have to worry about a lot of things. Oh, my goodness. Be happy. You have an offensive line that pushed everybody up and down the field. Minnesota probably sucks. I'm like, oh, wow, you sound like a jaded sports fan. She is 20 years. It's gone from, oh, you know, we're so good. We did this. We go to the Rose Bowl and this, that. Now it's like, yeah, no, they suck. Give me another cigarette.
My man, you got to go and start doling out some hugs.
It's
man,
tough.
That just sounds like it's I mean, there's some angst there. You got to go see if you can quell that. That's not
well,
good.
if they beat Michigan State tomorrow, I think she'll be okay.
Because yeah, I don't think it's all Michigan rivalry related. Game, it's okay. I'm pointing the finger at you, just like Teichert would.
No. It's not. No. Don't blame. Why would you do that to me?
I'm trying to help you.
I do things really, really well in this house. And when we disagree on something, I always do the right thing. I always say, you're right, you're right. I'll save being right for the radio.
You're right.
You're right. And I'll save being right for tonight when Harmon and I talk for 4 hours. That's what I like to do.
Compartmentalization. I like that.
We got more coming up in 90 seconds. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Teichert apparently pulling this off of a VHS tape from 1986.
This is a vinyl. Get it right.
The 1984 classic. Ghostbusters.
Really? You couldn't find a version of Ghostbusters that actually didn't sound like it was recorded off of someone's television?
That's
like when
cool,
you're
though.
When you're young and you have the radio, you put it right up to the speaker. I want to record the song.
Wait for them to play my request again.
Oh, boy. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. We got more on a couple of big things out of baseball. Like I said, a big football Friday as well. A big story on the Patriots we've been promising coming up in a few minutes. But time now to pick the game of the week in the National Football League. And clearly there is one game that stands above the rest. The Jets and the Steelers and the Ravens. All right, you have the Steelers, who I picked to go to the Super Bowl in the preseason. Against Baltimore, who a lot of people picked to go to the Super Bowl in the preseason, as did you.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's my Super Bowl pick, but Baltimore wins this game. And it's pretty simple. They've had a week off. They need this game more. Another loss to a really good team, and the whispers about, can Lamar Jackson really do it against good teams when it counts? Those whispers get louder. Baltimore needs a signature 2020 win, right? Jackson hasn't been as dynamic. Anybody who's got him in fantasy knows that. You know, it's not just only Chicago that's a bad 5-2 teams, and I get that, look, you're pacing yourself. You don't want to be playing your best football at the end of the season going into the playoffs, and not like last year where they just boat raced everybody. But they need this win more than the Steelers do. The Steelers can lose this game and everything would be fine. They've played great so far. They got wide receivers for days. Their defense is playing well. But I'll take the more desperate team, and that's going to be Baltimore to win this game.
Well, the thing for Pittsburgh is that you still have the whispers that they're a paper champion if they go and lose this game on the road based on – I mean, they beat Tennessee, did everything they could to make that a game last week, but maybe battered and bruised a little bit coming out of that one. And as you said, you had the Ravens with their bye week. The biggest question with the Ravens is the run game. Thus far, hey, look, they went and they paid on the offensive line today, so good. You keep that rolling, but though guys are averaging, you know, 4.45 a carry, it hasn't been the same dominance that we've seen in years past, right? Where you're just getting a big lead and then the lean. So, but this is an opportunity here. I think the loss of Devin Bush shows up in this game. Baltimore takes care of business at home. But that 3 and a hook could be in jeopardy. I think Steelers plus the points.
Oh, look at you with that hook. That's a big deal.
That's a deal, man.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. Hey, if you miss any of the show, don't forget, our Best Of podcast gets posted right after the show is over on iTunes. You can use the iHeartRadio app wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe, listen. We'll love you forever. Thank you for improving our podcast. We're up 50% from last year to this year. It's an awesome, awesome thing. Again, iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts. Coming up next, more on All Hallows Eve, plus why the Patriots remind me of the Lakers from last year. Fox.